ABC, D's of the New Testament. What are they? Four cornerstones. Who remembers anything? Huh? Jesus, number one, right? Okay, let's just try it again. There's the four. Four major cornerstones, four major foundation of everything that is Christian and everything that's New Testament. Obviously, Jesus is number one. The revelation that not only is he the Christ, but he's the Son of God, Lord, Savior, Alpha, Omega, beginning, and all the above. And as a result of that, we need to change our lives, our bad habits, our sinful disposition. Be nice, be kind, be loving. Do what God wants you to do. Stop sinning. Right? God gives you the power. Water baptism, symbol of your cleanliness, and spirit baptism is an empowerment. These four cornerstones. As we look through the New Testament, we look through the Gospels, Acts of the Apostles, and the Epistles, you'll find these four being taught everywhere, some way or shape or form. They're timeless, they're universal, and they are and should be worked out in practice. In other words, we've got to preach the gospel, we've got to preach repentance, we've got to preach water baptism, we've got to preach spirit baptism, and then we need to do all those things, right? They need to be integrated into our personal lives. These four, the ABCDs, ABCDs of the New Testament. So, the fourth cornerstone, spirit baptism. The first three, you know, we're pretty much in agreement about, generally speaking, evangelical Christians. Doesn't matter what your denomination is. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Lord, and Savior, you're not a Christian at all. Right? That's number one. And if you haven't repented of your sins, you're not a Christian. If you're still living in sin, you're still living in error, enjoying the unfruitful works of darkness, you're not a Christian, are you? Say whatever you want. Confess whatever you want. We don't care. You change life. No change, no change. Right? We got to see some change. The change we need. Water baptism is useless if you haven't repented. If you're not born again, what good is it? It's not magic, is it? Can water baptism do anything for you? No. Jesus does something for you, right? Water baptism is a symbol of your faith in Christ. Spirit baptism, that'll do something for you. It's not about a doctrine, it's about a person, the person of the Holy Spirit. Immersing yourself in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's having a relationship with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to look at these, we're going to review them. We've been looking at them for the past few weeks. And I got tons of books upstairs. And I started reading through some of my Holy Spirit books. And there's so much confusion, it's unbelievable. So much nonsense, it's unbelievable. I'm just shocked about it. So, let's look at it again, shall we? It's important. It's probably one of the more important things that you could ever study as a Christian. Study the great works of God. Study Scripture. Study to show yourself what? Approved. A workman. So, let's do that. What do you say? All in favor? Thank you in the back. Okay, that's the expensive seat back there. In Acts of the Apostles, which picks up after the Gospels, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he's on earth for 40 days after that, he commanded them. Is it important? Huh? What do you say? Not to depart. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait. These are commands of Jesus Christ. Wait for what? The promise of the Father. Have you ever studied the promise of the Father? What did he promise? You know, you can study that for a long time. We may have to do it. He said, and this is one of his promises, because God has lots of promises, right? John baptized with water. You should be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The promise of the Father is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Can we agree with that much? Then he says, you shall receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the Father's promise, the baptism of the Holy Spirit are synonymous terms. They all mean the same thing. What do you say? It's in the context. It's what it's talking about. He says you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That baptism is the spirit of dunamis. This word power is dunamis. It's a Greek word. So we get our word dynamite. It's a power. Do you think dynamite is powerful? Huh? How about an 8-stick of dynamite? Remember you used to be able to buy those in Mexico? I had one of those blow up in my hand. I almost tore my ear off. I couldn't hear for a month. Can you imagine God's power, dunamis? As a little kid, you know, you're doing stupid things. Fortunately, I've lived through it. You shall receive power. Don't leave. Not many days from now. What do you say? Not many days from now. When he says not many days from now, what's he referring to? Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. It's going to be 10 days later from here. Not many days. We've been waiting for this to happen for such a long time. And now it's come. It's a promise of the Father. Not many days from now. They all describe the same experience, and this is the experience. This is when it happened. Did this happen? Can you imagine this happened in history? It actually took place. We're not talking about myth or legend. We're not making up stuff. We're only here because this is true and this happened. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus rose again. Jesus ascended to heaven. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was poured out, and the Holy Spirit can fill your life, change your life. It's not about doctrines. It's not about books. It's not about schools, Ivy League. It's about a relationship with the person of the Spirit of God. When the day of Pentecost came, sound, wind, fire, they were all filled. Notice, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit comes upon you, receive the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, synonymous terms. It's referring to the exact same thing. They're not 14 different things just because you use different words to explain the same thing. Come on, let's be reasonable. And happens. There's an addition. Whenever the Holy Spirit comes, something good happens. He's the Santa Claus of God. He comes with gifts. In this particular situation, the filling comes in and something comes out. And they began to speak this utterance, an utterance that they didn't learn. It's a spiritually initiated utterance. We talked about it. It's an unintelligible utterance that God took and translated into languages in that particular day. We've talked about this before, but this ends up being a language of praise, a language of thanksgiving, a language of intercession, a language of prayer, a language of, and it can be interpreted at times, right? So the Spirit gave them something which we would call that a gift, a spiritual gift. The very first evidence is audible. We have visible tongues, we have audible speaking utterance of the Holy Spirit. So Peter's going to explain what this is. As we know, we've looked at this before. Peter, after they're all done having a good time, they go outside. And he says, hey, listen up. This is the guy that was hiding in the room that denied Christ. And this was the guy that couldn't talk to a little girl around the fire. Remember that? Remember this guy? You're one of him. No, I'm not. I don't know what you're talking about. What, me? I don't know Jesus. Look at this guy now, okay? Whole city full of people. All of Jerusalem, everybody. I'm telling you, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, which is to say, a fulfillment of prophecy. What? The baptism with the Holy Spirit is a promise of the Father. It's a commandment of God. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. But notice what happens here. It includes everyone. It's global. It's not restricted to an ethnicity. I mean, look around here. You know what I'm saying? Think about Christianity in the world. It's the only global religion. It's the only true global religion. All people, all ethnicity, all flesh, sons and daughters, old and young, slaves, all social categories, all gender categories, and age categories. But look what happens here when the Spirit comes. There's prophecy, there's visions, there's dreams. What are those? Those are what we would call charismatic gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit. We would call them manifestations or evidence that the Holy Spirit has filled you. So when the Holy Spirit comes, there's some evidence visually, visions and dreams, audible prophecies that take place. Are we understanding this? This particular baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a conversion experience. It is an empowering experience for ministry, gifts, additional capabilities for the partnership that we have with God to get His work done in the world. They're ministry gifts. So the very first gift that we see happening, or the first evidence of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, was speaking in tongues. An unlearned utterance initiated by the Spirit. And as we said, Holy Spirit comes like Santa Claus. This is Holy Spirit Christmas right here. It comes with things to give away. Prophecy, vision, dreams, Holy Spirit. Who's Holy Spirit? Third person of the Trinity. We're all Trinitarians. If you're not Trinitarian, you're not a Christian. Call yourself whatever you want. We believe there's three persons in one God. They're one God. That's not that hard. As if God should be simple. The God who makes galaxies. How do we know there's only one universe? We only thought there was one galaxy at one time. Remember that? Now what? There's infinite galaxies. Who knows how much there really is out there? We think we know so much, right? We're like little kids in the sea with the little pail of sand going, oh, I know so much. Whew. This is about the Spirit of God. It's not about a doctrine. It's not about stuff you read in the books by guys who sit in buildings, you know, with just brick buildings, writing things. This is about being in a relationship with God. Spirit comes in, stuff comes out. Good stuff. If bad stuff comes out, you got the wrong spirit. Are you with me? What if bad words come out, bad stuff comes out, unfruitfulness comes out, you got the wrong spirit. If you got the right spirit, right stuff comes out, holiness comes out, goodness comes out, love comes out, peace comes out. You should check what comes out, right? See what comes out, then you can determine where you are in your relationship with God, in your partnership with God. It's not just a relationship, it's a partnership. So what does Peter say? He's going to start with cornerstone number one, Jesus Christ. Why shouldn't he start there? That was the one they just crucified, right? Jesus of Nazareth. We know who that guy is. Jesus did miracles. Jesus did signs. Jesus wondered. Jesus did them. Jesus was alive. Jesus was a historical figure. These are not stories made up years and years later. This was the guy that walked among you. Remember him? Yes, we do. You yourselves know. You know. You saw. You felt. You touched. Many of you in this audience today were healed by him. Were fed by him. You know what I'm talking about. And he was delivered up to be crucified by the purpose and foreknowledge of God. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake. Oh, some people say, oh, that was a mistake. That was a failure. No, it was not. Remember Genesis 3:15? He shall crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent shall injure his heel. He was raised up from the dead, proclaimed from the very beginning. It's not a new embellishment. It's not some legend made up 60 years later. It was proclaimed from the very day. Why not? That's what happened. He says we're all witnesses of this thing. We saw Jesus. We ate with him. We walked with him 40 days, not 40 minutes, not 40 seconds, after he is raised up. We're witnesses. He was exalted. He has ascended to the Father. And he's received from the Father, what? The promise of the Holy Spirit, which you now see and hear. You can see it, and you can hear it. If you can't see it, you can't hear it. Guess what? Nothing happened. Okay? There's tangible evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Just because you can't see wind doesn't mean you can't see what wind does. Are you with me? They may have a sailboat. You know when there's wind and when there's not wind. You know when the Holy Spirit is moving and when the Holy Spirit is present. You can see it and you can hear it. There's visual and audible evidence. Did this really happen? Was the promise of the Holy Spirit really poured out? Absolutely. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't. There wouldn't be a Christian church if there wasn't. There'd be nothing. We'd be a Rotary Club, something like that. We'd be a YMCA or something. The end of the day, he says, look it, I want everybody to know. And we want everybody to know this exact same thing. I agree with everything Peter's preaching. I don't disagree with anything. Do you? No. Peter's premier preacher right now. He's telling it like it is. Let everyone know for sure that God has made Jesus, this Jesus, whom you crucified, which they did, both Lord and Christ. Jesus is two things. This is a declaration, the nature, the identity of Christ. He's not just Messiah. He is Lord God, Yahweh, Son of God, Mighty God, and Messiah. He's two in one, in human flesh. The two natures, the nature of God and the nature of man, combined in the one person, Jesus Christ. Christians always have believed this. Christians have always taught this. We believe that Jesus is God come in human flesh. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What do you say? You don't believe that? You're not a Christian. You don't have to understand it. But when you have the Holy Spirit, you go, yeah, that's right. That's the change that happens. When you get the Holy Spirit, you go, oh my gosh, that's exactly right. Jesus is the Son of God. And as a result of this declaration, this important thing, they ask, what? Diego, what? That should be age. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. That's what happens when you do this at 6:30 in the morning. But here's the question. It's an old question. What should we do? What should we do? That's the correct question to ask. When presented with the historic facts about the person of Jesus Christ. Whoa, what should I do about this? What should we do with the facts concerning the historical Jesus? And the answer is the key to eternal life. The answer is the key to everything. You know, we ask the questions, why am I here? Do I have purpose? What are we doing in outer space? Why is there so much? Why is this? Why that? The answer to all those why questions, the answer to the meaning of life is right here, ladies and gentlemen. It's in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer. Repent, which means to do what? Stop living like a sinner. Live righteously, live holy. You know you're doing wrong. You know you've done wrong. Sometimes people don't want to come to Christ because they know that what they're doing is wrong. And if they come to Christ, they're going to have to change their life, and they don't want to do that. Repentance means change. That's the humbling part of this. It's not that you think, oh, I'm the greatest person in the world. It's like, no, I'm a sinner. I need Christ. Until you come to that realization, you haven't really repented. Means to turn away, 180 degrees, go in a different direction. Oh, I had plenty of sins. You know, think about it. Let's not. Repent, everyone. Can everyone repent? Every single person can repent. There's no one beyond repentance. The only thing that keeps you from repenting is you and your pride and your enjoyment of sin. That's all. And you're hoping that hell's going to be a nice place for all you and your friends. I'm telling you, hell's not a happy place. You're going to be with the sickest, most perverted people that have ever lived on this planet. And they're going to make your life miserable for eternity. You want to go there? More power to you. I'm not. There wasn't that much joy in sin anyway. Sin's empty. It's a dead-end street. Sick. Thank God for repentance and remission of sins. Be baptized, right? 1, 2, 3. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Receive the promise. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. All the same thing. It's all the same day, same moment, same stuff. You'll notice the progression here. Preaching Jesus leads to repentance. Repentance leads to water baptism. Water baptism leads to receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's some kind of sequence here that we've looked at in Scripture any number of times. Sometimes, after people have repented, they've immediately received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then they said, well, let's baptize them in water. You know, it's okay. Get those two out of order. We don't mind. But you can't skip any one of them, or you shouldn't. Be like driving a car with a flat tire. This is the answer to the age-old question. My purpose is found in Christ. My destiny is found in Christ. I want to live forever with Jesus in heaven. I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care what you do. I mean, I do because you're all sweet people. But ultimately, you know, my mama don't go, I'm going. Are you with me? It's not a herd thing for me. I'll go by myself if I have to. But I don't have to because we're all here together. We're going to work this out, right? So, look at the question is, what do we got to do? What is the meaning of life? Why are we here? What's my purpose? Jesus, Lord, and Christ is the answer that you're looking for. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I'm telling you, what you're looking for is Jesus Christ and a relationship with Christ. That is what you're looking for. You can look all you want. You can wander all you want. You can philosophize all you want. You can go Machu Picchu. You can do whatever you want. What you want is Jesus Christ. That's what you want. And you're not going to find what you want until you come to peace with Jesus. You make your peace with Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go back. Just one second. Look at this answer. Repent. Be baptized. Water baptism in the name of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, the Son of God, the risen one, the crucified one. For the forgiveness of sins. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right? No one is so holy they don't have a sin. Come on. Receive the gift. It's a gift. It's free. It's from God. It's a promise. For all. How many? For all. For as many. Is there a time frame put on this? It's a promise of God. Is God's promise going to go out of style? Is it going to cease? That's ridiculous. So, what's missing here in this answer? Nothing. And everything. There's nothing missing, and there's everything missing. Here's how it looks. Do I have it? Oh, there's the answer. All right. True or false? What's missing? Nothing and everything. They're both right answers. Not a trick question. You don't need anything other than faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. Do you need anything else? Do you need to be really smart? Do you need to go on any pilgrimages? Do you need to meditate on some hill somewhere? You need faith in Jesus Christ, what he did for you. He made a payment for me that I accept. Thank you, I accept that. I need nothing. There's people who tell you need Jesus plus this, Jesus plus that. You don't need Jesus plus anything. What's missing in the answer? Everything. Think about it. Think about religion. In those days, do we have to keep the Talmud anymore? Thank God, no. You saw the 20 volumes I have with thousands of pages of rules and regulations. What'd Peter say? That's such a yoke, a burden. We couldn't bear that. Do we have to keep the food laws? Do we have to keep all the festivals? The endless sacrifices? Temple practices? Do we have to keep the Sabbath laws? How many of them do we have to keep? Not one. Please notice here, no mention of priesthood, no church hierarchy, no liturgy, no sacraments, no pope, No holy journeys, no Ash Wednesday, no scapulars, candles, statues, monasteries, rosaries, no church buildings. Think about it for a moment. Not to be disrespectful in any way, but we have to understand that this is the answer. Whoops. Where's my answer? There it is. This is the answer. This is all you need. We don't need anything other than Jesus Christ. And this sermon by Peter took place outdoors. Their question was a response to the facts of Jesus Christ presented to them. And it was an immediate and spontaneous request. And the solution was immediate. What must we do? Well, you know what? You've been really bad. You're going to have to go on a big pilgrimage. You're going to have to whip yourself for days. You're going to have to fast. You're going to have to go contort yourself into a glass container. Or walk upon hot coals. Or able to be walk upon glass without your feet hurting. The answer, the solution was presented to them. Repent. Do it now. Be water baptized. We'll do that today. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll do that also today. Repentance is a work of the Holy Spirit. Not everyone who heard this repented. Do you think they did? A lot of people heard this sermon, hated Peter, hated this. They threw him in prison. They beat them. They tormented them. Not everyone's happy with this. It's always going to be that way. It doesn't always make people happy. He says, be water baptized. Repent, be water baptized. Wait, there's more. Wait, there's more than water baptism? There's more beyond water baptism? Yes. And, there's another and. You shall receive the Holy Spirit. Next week we're celebrating this year we're celebrating 500-year anniversary of the Reformation. Amen. We probably wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that. Of all the bad things that happened during the Reformation, there were a few good things. One of the good things that happened was the recovery of this answer. That you could spontaneously, in a moment, hear the gospel, which is the power of God and the salvation, and go, I'm that sinner. I need to do something. What do I got to do? There's nothing you can do except receive what God has done for you. Right? You don't have to do anything. Just receive what God has done for you. God's already written the check. Just take the check, cash it. Turn from your sins. Be water baptized. These four, do we have the four? These four are like the four pieces of one pie. They're one thing, actually. They're like four legs on the table. Which table? This table. The table that's prepared before me in the presence of my enemy, the table that God has for you. God has a table for each one of us. Peter said, there's no other name. So there's salvation in no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. There's no other name. Don't look anywhere else. We're going to make it as simple as possible. There's nothing, you don't have to go anywhere else, you have to do anything else. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. How much more simple can it be? Now, I believe Peter. Peter's my bishop. I follow Peter, preach Peter, love Peter, preach what Peter preached. If you say you follow Peter, preach what Peter preached. All right, let's move on. Biblical name. We having a good time yet? Okay. In all four Gospels, they begin with this declaration by John the Baptist that he baptizes with water and that Jesus is coming, the Mighty One, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So, baptize you with the Holy Spirit is the biblical name. Okay? And all the Gospels agree with this as one of the primary missions or purposes of the coming of Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark is one sentence. John says, there's one coming after me, mightier than I. I'm not worthy. I baptize with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Water baptism is not spirit baptism. That is pretty simple. I don't know why PhDs in theology cannot understand that. I don't want to ever be that smart. In Luke's gospel, everyone's waiting for the Messiah to come. So John comes preaching, and they want to know if he's the Messiah. He says, no, I'm not. I baptize with water. There's a greater one. There's the mega one. Greater than everybody. Greater than everything. Right? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John agrees. He who sent me to baptize with water. He's a prophet. He's sent of God. Here's John himself saying, he who sent me to baptize with water. The one that you see the Spirit descending and remaining on, that's the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. When dealing with scriptural truth and biblically certified experiences, there's a lot of spiritual experiences out there, but there's experiences of God that are certified in Scripture. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a biblically certified experience, which is good. It's important to use scriptural names. It's best to refer to the baptism of the Holy Spirit by its biblical name, so you can know what you're receiving and what we're talking about. So you can communicate what we're trying to pursue and trying to receive. So, these four, A, B, C, D. The A, B, C, D's. Do I have them? Yeah. So if you're learning the alphabet, anybody ever try to teach somebody the alphabet? We've all had little kids. What do you start with? A. A. And so what do you got? You got the big A. Maybe a little apple. You got the B with a little ball. C is usually what? A cat. D is what? Dog. You start with A, B, C, D. Now, if I teach you or try to teach you A, B, C, D, and tomorrow we learn E, F, G, H, it doesn't mean that we've forgotten A, B, C, D. Are you with me? It's the foundation. It's the beginning point of learning the rest of the alphabet. It's the same way with these four cornerstones. If I tell you about Jesus, Savior, if I tell you about repentance, next week we talk water baptism, we talk spirit baptism, we're not discounting or forgetting the fact that Jesus is Lord. Right? If we talk about repentance, going to a big series for 6 weeks, do we forget that there's spirit baptism? No, we do not. We're moving on. We have a foundation. We're learning. We're understanding A, B, C, D. We want to have this foundation. Even if I spend a considerable amount of time trying to teach you the hard letters in the alphabet, you know, the Q's and S's and W's and Z's, doesn't mean we forgot A, B, C, D, right? The easy ones. We haven't forgotten. Why? I don't have to go over it every single time. Every single time. Do we? No, because you've already memorized them. You've already learned those things. They're incorporated into your foundation for reading and writing. So A, accept the Word of God. Right? The truth about Jesus Christ. Believe. Be changed. Be born again. Be humble. Be clean. Be fruitful. Don't be a liar. Committed to Christ. Be water baptized. And D, dunamis. Dunamis, Greek word for the Holy Spirit power. It doesn't stand for doctrine. It stands for dunamis. Doctrines are important, aren't they? Getting clear truth is important. But it's not about knowing things. It's about knowing Christ, being in relationship with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So these are the foundational building blocks of everything in the New Testament. As I said, we don't need to teach them every single chapter for them to always be true. Now, let's say, for instance, you skip the ABCD. What if you skip ABCD? Guess what? You don't have an alphabet anymore, right? If you skip all this, oh, this is legend, Jesus is not really a son of God, oh, you don't really need to be changed, you don't really need to be committed to Christ, you say a bunch of words, say whatever you want, and then forget dunamis power, forget the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What do you got? You don't have anything. You got nothing. You got heresy. So, baptism of the Holy Spirit, first thing, biblical term. First thing is the promise. Think about how important that is. Isn't that awesome? It's a promise of my Father. Wait until you're clothed with power. The promise with power from on high, they refer to the same thing. You're talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them, wait for the promise. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. These are the same things as we saw. Peter said, it's the promise of the Holy Spirit. So when you talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit, promise of the Father, the gift, those are all the same thing. All mean the same stuff. The promise, which you see and hear, it's for all of you. The fact that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a promise means that the Holy Spirit baptism is not something that you have to force God to give you. Does that make sense? Sometimes we think, oh, that's only for holy people, that's only for the good, the great and awesome people, or, you know, that those gifts and those things are for someone other than me. Or I've got to really be holy, I got to fast a lot, I got to pray a lot, I've got to do. No, it's a promise. God has been looking forward to the day of Pentecost for a very long time. God's promise doesn't cease. Can you imagine have a theology of cessationism concerning God's promise that he's been planning since before the beginning of time? There's no shelf life. There's no expiration date. There's no limitation, no restriction on God's promise. It is for you, your children, to all the far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. I should get a hallelujah there. Thank you, Nikki. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. And this can be a study in and of itself, all the prophecies concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit. Not going to do it today. I'm just going to remind you of the one that Peter used in Acts chapter 2, 16 and 17 when he said, this is what Joel predicted. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Hallelujah. In the last days, there's a change of days. The calendar switches to the last days. It's an era. It's a time. It's a what do they call it? The continental divide, Old and New Testament. Water falls on one of two sides. These are the last days. It's not, did you see any time frame on this? Yes, for all the days that come after this moment, I will pour out my Spirit on everybody. I've been in so many places in the world, and there's no greater joy than being with God's people. Even if you can't understand their language, it doesn't matter. I've been in the smallest places in India. I've been in little villages all over the world in Africa. And you feel at home when you're with God's people. I've been with rich Christians. You feel at home when you're with God's people. I've been with people who don't have shoes and butts hanging out of their little torn pants. You feel the love of Christ. You feel kinship. You feel family. You can't fake that. That is a fellowship of the Holy Spirit. All people. What did Ezekiel say? God says in Ezekiel, I will sprinkle clean water on you. Just one, I'm just going to show you one. You'll be clean. What? Forgiveness of sins. I'll cleanse you from all your impurities. And I'll do what? I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new spirit. That's what we need, right? Get a new heart. You need heart surgery. Your heart's filthy, your heart's dirty, your heart's unclean, you got all kinds of bad thoughts and evil things going on inside you, you just need a new heart. God says, I'll give you a new heart. You need a new one? You can have a new one. I'll put a new spirit in there. You got a bad spirit? You're full of evil spirits? You're hearing evil spirits? You're hearing bad stuff going on? He'll give you a new one. You'll hear good stuff. Right? Why don't I hear good things for a change? Check it out. I'll take out your old heart of stone, your old hard-hearted, miserable, wretched, hard, stony heart, bitter, mad about everything, mad at God, mad at mom and dad, mad at the world, mad at Trump, mad. We're all mad. We hate everybody. I'll take that out. Let's get rid of that ugly thing. That stony thing. Give you a nice soft one. Soft-hearted. And how's he going to do that? I will put my spirit in you. And I'll move you to follow my decrees, careful to keep my laws. This is just one of many in the Old Testament that were speaking about the power and the evidence of this new life in Christ and with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Fulfillment of prophecy. It's also a commandment. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a commandment, and this is really important for us. Remember that Jesus told them, I'm going to send you, stay until power comes on, right? If you're in a blackout, you know what that's like. Just stay there until the power comes on. That's a straightforward command. Stay until you get the power. How do you know you have the power? I know there's power. Lights are on, fans are working, things are efficient. There's evidence that the power's on. Does anybody need to tell you in a blackout that there's no power? Huh? You ever have power go out in your whole house? You go, oh, there's no power. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a commandment of God. He ordered them to wait until they're clothed. Stay is an urgent and necessary imperative. It's an urgent and necessary imperative. Listen to what Jesus said. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus told his disciples to go in all the world and preach the gospel and baptize them and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Okay? What are the commandments of Jesus? Do you know any? Do you know one of the commandments of Jesus? What? We'll do the love one for sure, right? Love God. There's two, at least. Love God, love neighbors. It's much easier to love God than it is to love people, right? That's the hard part. I love God. I'm trying to love you. So we know love is an important commandment. But what I just realized the other day was that one of the commandments that he gave was to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He commanded them to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He commanded them not to leave and do anything for ministry purposes, for the global mission, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of obedience. It's not like pick and choose, right? It's a matter of obedience. It's a matter of being yielded and committed to your commander, the command of God. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift. We know that. You receive the gift. Anybody know how to receive gifts? It's still my birthday month. I'd be more than happy to receive gifts. And I would receive them humbly. Okay? No problem. Anna knows. How many October people we have? It's not a birthday, it's birth month. Okay? We don't celebrate one day. No. It's all big. All big for us. As a gift and as a promise, and as a command, it's freely given. The gift of the Holy Spirit cannot be merited. You cannot work for it. You cannot deserve it. You cannot do anything. You don't have to do things to receive a gift. Except what? Just receive it. Receive it. That's why it's called receiving. Right? We're receivers. Go along. Catch it. You don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a reward. It's a gift. Provided for, freely given, a promise, planned for, prophesied about, paid for in full, given to those who what? Ask. Even if Acts chapter 11, after the Cornelius event, which we looked at, he says the Holy Spirit came on them, all these Gentiles that Peter was preaching again, and came on them as on us at the beginning, which you're talking about Pentecost, which tells you it's not a one-time event just for the apostles, okay? It's for Gentiles. Of course it is. And this is what John said. You'll be baptized with water. But Jesus said this. The Lord, Jesus said this. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. God gave them the same gift as he gave us. The same gift as he gave us. Who did what? Who believed? The gift is for believers. The gift doesn't make you believers. It's for believers. Who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift. Same gift yesterday, today, and forever. We got to receive it, though, according to God's pathway. And the first thing to do is to repent. Right? Repent, be water baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is offering the world a powerful relationship with the Spirit of God when we receive the Spirit by faith. You can't earn it, you can't deserve it. How do you get it? You yield, you accept, you agree, you receive. It's you're obedient. You come in obedience to the command and to the commander. Look what he says. Just ask. Ask, it'll be given. Seek, find. Sometimes it takes seeking. Sometimes there's things in your life that need to be worked out to make room for more of God. That's just the way it is. Sometimes there's things that need to be cleaned out of the closet before you can make room for more of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't want to live in a dirty temple, would you? And it'll be opened. What'll be opened? Your heart will be opened, right? Open heart surgery. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Luke 11:13. You can ask. You can seek. You can knock. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. You will receive. It's new power. It's the power, new power for a new era. Anybody remember what these are? Huh? Back in the late 1900s, when I was a journeyman carpenter doing framing, we did everything with hammer and nails. Anybody remember those days? Eventually, thank God, the pneumatic or air-powered nail gun was invented, which used the power of compressed air to shoot nails into wood. That changed my life. Look at this thing. It's such a cool gun. This whole thing fills up with nails like bullets. It's got a little safety thing here. You see that? Now, if you push that back and you wedge it in here, you can just shoot it like a gun. Huh? Yeah. So, look how cool they are now. They got battery packs. They got all kinds of things. So, I went online to check them out. There's at least 50, 60 different kind of nail guns. They usually just have the big ones for nailing lumber together. Now, they got little ones for moldings and angle ones for special places and ones for putting down roofing. You know how many roofing things I've nailed with little tiny nails? Now they got air guns. Man, I wish I lived in that era. Now, think about what I'm saying is that the power of the Holy Spirit is like this. It's like a new era. It helps us do things more effectively and more quickly. Now, you think about a nail gun, the air-powered nailer, it didn't make me a better carpenter. I'm already a skilled carpenter. It just made faster and more efficient. It took all the knowledge and skills that I already had developed and maximized them. In reality, it did help us do a better job because you could put 6 nails into something when you might have only put in 2. You know what I'm saying? Why not? Otherwise, just pull a nail out, put it up, set it, hit it until it gets in, right? So it did help us do a better job. We didn't mind adding more nails. It made things better, actually. than when we had to do it by hand, because by hand you've been doing that all day long, pulling them out, nailing things. It's like, I don't want to put an extra nail in here. Forget that. I'm only going to do as little as required, but with a nail gun I could do more. And the nail gun was more fun. Right? What would you rather use? Hammer and nail or nail gun? It can nail in difficult places that usually take special skill and experience. Nail by hand. It also simplified things. Nail gun. Because, I mean, you know when you're putting ceiling joists on, and you got to put the 2x12 blocks in there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You build a wall and you put the ceiling on, and you have to block in between the ceiling joists. And they're like little 14.5-inch blocks. And the hardest thing about those is starting the nail. So by hand, you got to like, you're standing up maybe 2 or 3 floors up. You got your foot on this thing that's wheeling around. You got a nail in your hand, and you're trying to nail it in to the two joists on either side. Then you got to put a couple nails in the front to the wall, and then maybe some in the back. Man, that was painful. Sometimes there's a knot there, and you can't nail through the knot. Sometimes we'd take the nail, 16-penny nail, and put it in the claw of the hammer and bend it a little bit like this so you could start it and hit it and it would bend into the wood because it was so difficult. Now the nail gun just didn't matter. Oh, I'll put an extra one in. Oh, I don't like that one. I'll do two more. So much faster, so much easier than doing it by hand. You know what? That's dunamis. Sometimes nailing those platforms for stairs, getting up underneath in there and getting those little nails in there. Man, I got a big hole in my finger still to this day from how many times I missed that little tiny nail. You can come see it later, okay? Feel sorry for me. There was a time I did so many stairs, man, that finger never healed up. I just had a big old swollen finger all the time. Yeah, in the name of Jesus, don't have to do that anymore. But the point is you wouldn't go back to using the old-fashioned nail and hammer, even though that's the way you did it all the time in the old days, right? Even this little project we did out here that was the Eagle Scout project, and you know, we built that shed. We built the shed in one day. It would have been impossible to do that if it wasn't for air guns, electricity, power tools. We got it done. We got it done quicker. It was happier. It's not as hard work. Much easier. Now, think about it. You're not saying that if you don't use these that you're a second-class citizen or that you're a bad carpenter. I was actually the same carpenter as I was before or after the air tools. Are you with me? When I only used hammer and nails to build, I was experienced, I was productive as a union carpenter. I was using the tools of the trade of the day. So when we're saying that Pentecost has come, there's new tools of the trade. No one's going to sit around like that using old tools to do old things. We're not going to do it. In fact, even though when I was young, virile, fast, strong, I was a human nailing machine. I was the Paul Bunyan of nailing. You get a whole handful of nails like this and just two is all you needed. One, two. One, two. And so if you took 3 or 4, you're grimy. You're a rookie. We could tell the new guys if it took them 5 or 6 to hammer in a nail, it's like, oh, man. That's so wrong. But were we grateful for the air tools? Absolutely. Watch this. Unbelievable. So times have changed. It's a new era of power tools. Be like sawing wood with a handsaw. When you have electricity. When you have electricity and electric tools, that's what you want to use. We wouldn't go back the old-fashioned way. So I went on this job site in 1993, and there's these guys still using hammer nails rather than air guns. I'm going, why are you using hammer and nail in the era of air guns? I mean, are you working by the hour? Is that what it is? No, I'm serious. I mean, that's all I could imagine. I mean, what are you doing? Why are you a hammer and nail only guy? Haven't you heard of air guns since you become a carpenter? I'm sure they could answer, so you think you're better than me because you use air guns? No, probably not. I actually believe that you're very skilled and that you're a journeyman carpenter, that you're trained and experienced, but we're in a new era right now. This is a new age. We're no longer just in the age of hammer and nails. Come on, man. Get with it. There's a new time for dunamis power. You need to change. You need to accept the change. You need to receive the change. Step into the new time, new tools of the trade. Plus, air guns are a lot of fun. They're a lot more fun, especially with the safety off. You can shoot those things. They're only dangerous in the wrong hands. Okay? So, we're living in a new era. We're living in the era of the Holy Spirit. We're living in the era of Pentecost. We have new tools of the trade. We have the Holy power of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand what that looks like and the fact that it's a promise, it's a prophecy, it's a commandment, it's God's intention for the church. You remember back, I'm ending with this, thank God. You don't know how long it is to stand up here, how hard it is to stand up here and talk this long. Back in the day with Jesus, he said, look it, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. He who believes, what is let him come to me? Cornerstone number one. What is he who believes in me? Cornerstone number two. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What's that? Number four. He spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. It's for those who believe in him. It doesn't make you a believer. Not this experience of the Holy Spirit. This experience of flowing rivers is for those who believe that they would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. First cornerstone, let him come to me. Second cornerstone, those who believe in me. Fourth cornerstone, Holy Spirit, you'll receive, will flow out of you like rivers of living water. The living water is for believers. One, it's for believers, not for unbelievers. And the flow of water is for those who come to Christ. The flow, go with the flow. The flow of living water is for those who believe in Christ, believe in the promise, believe in the prophecies, believe that Jesus was right when he was saying, I will go to the Father, and I will send the Holy Spirit. Peter said, this is what you see and hear. He's ascended, he's exalted, he's poured out what you see and hear. Come and drink, he said. It's not about a long pilgrimage, except if your pilgrimage brings you to Jesus. I was in a pilgrimage, but I didn't know it. I wandered all over the world. Wandered in all kinds of darkness, dark places. I didn't know that I wanted Jesus until I found Jesus, and I go, that's what I wanted. There's no need for an intermediary or priest. Why? Because Jesus is our high priest. There's no holy place because Jesus is our holy place. Jesus says, come to me. A, B, C, D. Accept Christ as your Savior. Believe that he's the Son of God who died for you, set you free from darkness. Come to him, those who thirst. Those who have questions, those who feel restless, those who want purpose, those who want to know what life is all about. And drink. Drink it up. Come and drink. And then what? Flow. Rivers. Water comes in, water comes flowing out. And why? Because Jesus said so. Jesus is our authority. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus says, this is how you do it. Come to Jesus and drink. Let the Spirit flow from you as life-giving water. We're going to worship God right now. I know it's a little bit late. Let's just take 5 minutes right now. And you can just sit where you are. And wherever you are in your journey, wherever you are in your theology, Come to Jesus. Come and drink. Come and say, fill me up, Lord, that I may serve you according to your will for my life. Enjoy the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the life-giving water.